Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Kayla Hall.
When you look at a county in western Kentucky and you move it around, it will ripple all the way to central Kentucky.
Senate President Robert Stivers says that while they were difficult to draw, the new district maps approved by the Senate are fair to both parties.
State legislators could see changes in their training regimens in the wake of sexual harassment allegations against Representative John Arnold.
And the Kentucky Office of Employment and Training reports on the state's unemployment rates.
In sports, the Rowan County Vikings return to action tonight.
We'll have a check of your business news.
Mostly clear skies with lows around 60. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A 25-year-old Sandy Hook man has been sentenced to 20 years in prison following his convictions on two counts of criminal abuse for injuries suffered by his infant son. WSAZ reports that Nick Ballou was sentenced today in Lawrence County Circuit Court. Prosecutors say Ballou was home alone with his two-month-old baby, Landon, when the child suffered multiple skull fractures and brain injuries and was left legally blind. State police say the incident happened in August of 2011.
Police in Newport say an infant drowned in a bathtub after slipping off his sleeping mother's chest and sliding into the water. According to the Kentucky Inquirer, the investigation is still underway in the death of Liam McKenzie, who was 5 months old. Newport Police Chief Tom Collins said the child was found unresponsive Wednesday by a family friend who was at the home. The baby was pronounced dead at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Results of the investigation will be given to the Commonwealth's attorney to determine whether charges will be sought.
The Kentucky Senate has voted 35-2 in favor of a redistricting plan for House and Senate districts. Republican Joe Bowen of Owensboro chairs the State and Local Government Committee in his chamber.
This map is clearly a break from tradition, where in years past, redistricting was a partisan, punitive, power-driven exercise.
Bowen applauds the new map as a break from tradition. Democrat Robin Webb of Grayson also voted for the measure. However, her newly designed 18th district does not include Lewis County, which she has represented throughout her political career.
I just want to say thank you to the four counties that elected me and the people who showed confidence in me, and I love them, and I always look out for you because it is a Commonwealth and we represent everybody.
Kentucky's political maps have to be redrawn to conform with the latest U.S. Census data.
State Representative Joni Jenkins has filed a resolution that would add sexual harassment education to the annual mandatory ethics training for state lawmakers. The filing comes after formal ethics complaints were filed against Representative John Arnold of Western Kentucky. Three legislative staffers have accused him of sexual harassment and assault. Legislators do not currently undergo sexual harassment education as part of their annual ethics training. Jenkins says state employees need to work in a safe climate without fear of reprisal for bringing forth such complaints.
Not only do we as legislators need to be aware of our own behavior, we also need guidance if we are witnessing colleagues or other employees that are acting inappropriately, and we need to know how best we address that.
House Speaker Greg Stumbo says he plans to make the sexual harassment component of future ethics training legally enforceable.
Kentucky House Majority Leader Rocky Atkins says he wants the legislature to be proactive when it comes to protecting state employees from sexual harassment by lawmakers or others in the workplace. The Boyd County Democrat tells Inside Cable's Pure Politics Kentucky should look at guidelines developed in other states and by the National Conference of State Legislatures to determine what actions, if any, are needed in the Commonwealth.
Look, I've got two daughters, a beautiful wife, and if there's anybody that has a problem with issues like this, you're looking at him. I have one daughter who's 9, another is 27, a beautiful wife. So if there's anybody that's going to be proactive on an issue like this, Rocky Atkins is going to be.
Atkins was responding to questions about sexual harassment complaints that have been made against State Representative John Arnold by two legislative staff members, one of whom worked for Atkins.
Kentucky Secretary of State and Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate, Allison Lundergan Grimes, says there are problems with the Affordable Care Act that need to be fixed. However, she told reporters at the state fair Thursday, scrapping the national health care law is not the answer.
I don't think we throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. I think we actually have to work to fix it. Instead of 40 times working to kick youngsters off of their parents' insurance or to deny people coverage for pre-existing conditions or to deny people long-term coverage or to raise prescription drug prices, as Senator McConnell has done.
Lundergan Grimes says regulatory burdens in the law should be streamlined to incentivize businesses to provide health care coverage for their employees.
Republican Senator Mitch McConnell claims there's growing bipartisan opposition to the Affordable Care Act, commonly referred to as Obamacare. McConnell also spoke with members of the press at the Kentucky State Fair.
The House has passed bills to delay the employer mandate, believing the president didn't have the authority to do it on his own. 35 Democrats voted for that. They also passed a bill to delay the individual mandate. 22 Democrats voted for that. The head of the AFL-CIO in Nevada said the bill was a disaster.
McConnell says one of the Democrats who championed the bill in the Senate now calls it a train wreck.
The two largest children's hospitals in the state are partnering up in an effort to provide better care across Kentucky. UK Children's Hospital in Lexington is joining with Cosair Children's Hospital in Louisville, allowing more room for specialty practice in pediatrics. Stephen Williams is the CEO of Norton Healthcare, the owning company of Cosair. He spoke to Kentucky Public Radio about the partnership.
Being able to combine our volumes achieves a critical mass that better allows us to retain and recruit specialty pediatric physicians to provide services both at the hospitals themselves as well as throughout Kentucky through outreach clinics, telemedicine, and so forth.
Despite their merger of interest and resources, the hospitals still plan to operate independently. Together, they will tackle such issues as pediatric obesity, diabetes, and asthma among Kentucky's kids.
Kentucky officials say unemployment rates fell in 72 of the state's counties between July 2012 and last month. They say the jobless rates rose in 42 counties and stayed the same in six other counties. The figures were released Thursday by the Kentucky Office of Employment and Training. The report says Woodford County had the state's lowest jobless rate at 5.8%. Rowan County's July jobless rate stood at 7.4%.
It's never happened, but a leading official in the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration believes a fatality-free year in coal mining is achievable. KPR's Stu Johnson reports.
Joe Maine, who's the Assistant Secretary of Labor for the Mine Safety and Health Administration, was in Lexington for the Central Appalachian Regional Work Safety and Health Symposium. Just 40 years ago, before the U.S. Mine Safety Act, Maine says a miner was killed virtually every day. Last year, he says, 36 American miners died, with 20 of them claimed by coal.
And for those of those that say that we can't have a fatal-free industry, I'll say this. The folks sitting in these rooms in 1977 was looking at the number of deaths to get to zero, starting at 273. The distance we have to go is far less than what they had to go.
So far this year, there have been 23 mining deaths, with 13 in the coal industry. Kentucky has had two mining-related fatalities. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
A federal plan to tackle the resurgence of black lung disease by controlling coal dust in Kentucky mines, or in U.S. mines, rather, has been sent to the White House. The Charleston Gazette reports the Mine Safety and Health Administration submitted a final draft of its rule to the White House Office of Management and Budget on Wednesday. That office must review it before a final version is issued. The rule was proposed nearly 3 years ago. U.S. Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia wrote to President Barack Obama earlier this month, urging an end to delays on the rule. Federal statistics show more than 9,600 coal miners died of black lung nationwide between 1996 and 2005. Pennsylvania had the highest number of deaths, and West Virginia had the second highest.
A leading Eastern Kentucky prosecutor says drug abuse hinders economic growth. Floyd County Commonwealth's attorney Brent Turner says employers are not interested in people with a drug problem.
It's a fact that we've had various surveys and studies done and inquiries made where a company has came in and said we need, you know, so many hundred qualified applicants that can pass a drug test and can't get them.
Turner adds it's not fair to imply that the loss of coal jobs in eastern Kentucky has more people selling illegal drugs. The prosecutor was one of a number of individuals recognized during a ceremony in Lexington yesterday.
The Grayson City Council continues to prepare the town for legal alcohol sales. MSPR's Shelby Steele has that story.
According to the Ashland Independent, the Grayson Council has decided to use City Attorney Reed Glass as the city's alcoholic beverage administrator for 3 months, at a salary of $1,000 per month. Mayor George Steele says Glass was already familiar with new alcohol ordinance and was available to go to training for this position this week. Steele says the position will be reevaluated after the three-month period. Voters in Grayson approved the legal sale of alcohol in their town back in June. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Shelby Steele.
Rowan County will support an effort by the local farmers market to put up a building at its location in downtown Morehead. City officials recently approved giving the farmers market $1,000 for the project, while the county has agreed to help take care of some of its infrastructure needs. Judge Executive Jim Nichols says the planned structure will be an open-air pavilion with about 8 to 10 bays.
It'll be several bays where farmers can bring their produce in. It cannot be a permanent structure, so it'll be kind of a pole building, something you could remove if necessary. Due to the agreement with the State Transportation Cabinet. County actually owns the property, but we do have some restrictions there.
Officials from the Rowan Farmers Market are also working with the Gateway Area Development District to apply for a state grant to help pay for the planned pavilion.
An Air Force commander says he's thankful that four crew members were able to fly safe or to safely eject before a B-1B bomber crashed in southeastern Montana. The airplane crashed Monday in a remote area near Borodas, Montana. It was based at South Dakota's Ellisworth Air Force Base, one of only two bases in the U.S. that have B-1B crews. Colonel Kevin Kennedy says two 28th Bomb Wing pilots and two weapons systems officers were taken by ambulance and the air to South Dakota hospitals in Rapid City and Spearfish. He says their injuries are not life-threatening. One of the men involved in the crash was Instructor Weapons Systems Officer Captain Brandon Packard from Ashland, Kentucky. Investigators are still trying to determine the cause of the crash.
Morehead's Kentucky State Police Post is gearing up to host its fifth annual Citizens Police Academy. Trooper Joe Veneman says the 11-week program is designed to give members of the community an inside look at the day-to-day operations of the KSP.
It is, and, you know, obviously, a lot of the crimes that we solve is from the help from the community, just, you know, for the things that they're able to observe as far as, you know, crimes being committed. And, you know, it's kind of a chance to, you know, if there are any walls up between us and the community, to try to tear through those walls a little bit so we can have open communication with the community as well, and they can have open communication with us.
Among the topics the Academy will cover are patrols, traffic stops, along with accident and criminal investigations. The program will begin on Wednesday, September 11th. Classes will be held at the Martha Cottle Stacy Building in West Liberty. For more information, you can contact the Morehead State Police Post at 606-784-4127.
And finally today, construction of the roller coaster set to open next spring at Kings Island Theme Park is expected to generate millions of dollars in business for companies in Ohio. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports the $24 million Banshee coaster will use materials produced in the Cincinnati area and by other companies in Ohio. It's the largest single investment for the 41-year-old park. The businesses benefiting include a Batavia plant that makes steel skeletons for roller coasters and a crane company with employees in Wilder, Kentucky. Kings Island officials say the ride will be the world's longest inverted steel roller coaster with more than 4,000 feet of track and multiple inversions. It will reach speeds of up to 68 miles per hour over the 2-minute, 40-second ride.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Nicholas, Robertson, and Wolf. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 60. Currently in Ashland, it's 83 degrees. Flemingsburg, 81 degrees. Winchester, 83 degrees. Lexington, 86 degrees. It's 82 degrees in Inez and 84 degrees in Moorhead.
The time is 4:45, and you're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Moorhead State University professor Dr. John Modaff. He says the weird news just keeps on coming.
Here on the side of the road, it's been a bizarre year of news weeks. This last one, though, has got to come pretty close to breaking the record. There might be some slender metafilament holding these events together, but for now, let's just post them under "People Cannot Believe This Is Happening." No, these are not headlines from the Star or Inquirer. These are, as far as I can tell, real stories. First, the charmer out west on trial for slaughtering soldiers at Fort Hood while screaming the name of his God, following through on threats he had been making for months. This gentleman, this officer, has admitted to the killings, but has apparently maintained his innocence and his salary and benefits. Let's review. Yes, I mowed down unarmed women and men in the name of my God, but I am not guilty of religious extremist terror. You see, he's using that famously insane and insanely famous stance that if and only if God is on your side, murder is cool. Murder is cool with God if you do it for God. Oh, don't go judging. We've used versions of that explanation ourselves quite a lot lately, but that doesn't make it any less insane. In other bizarre news, people in New York City are thrilled with the lower crime rates since the age of Rudy, and many are attributing it to a program called Stop and Frisk, a program that gives police supposedly over-the-top power to stop anyone they want to for any reason they care to. A couple of things about this story qualify as bizarre. First, when haven't police had this power? The only difference with Stop and Frisk is that A, they are admitting to doing it, and B, the courts are okay with it, or rather, the courts were okay with it. Some judge who accidentally read the Constitution is now kicking up dust over some amendment, I don't know. What's the problem? Crime has been reduced. What difference does it make by what means? The naive assumption that crime fighting ought not be as criminal as crime itself is bizarre. We agree to do it all the time. Just ponder the word drone for a while. And finally, in a wonderful story, from a state that continues to inspire the other 49 toward ever higher plateaus of golden greatness, this story on gender. If reports are correct, California's governor has made the historic decision to let boys and girls decide which bathroom to use and which team to play on. This has so upset people that they've forgotten the rest of life in their overattention to school. One citizen complained that this ruling would mean kids could end up using the same bathroom. They could end up playing on the same ball team. They could land in the same pole vault pit, walk the same corridors, breathe the same air. Well, doesn't all of this happen at home, in neighborhoods, and on college intramural teams all the time? Granted, people showering together at home may not be routine, and for a host of reasons, might not work in public bathrooms. But still, Jerry Brown isn't any crazier than we are when it comes to conceiving of a world where gender does not dictate who you play with and where you pee. So for once, Governor Brown comes off looking sane, and the people who are flipping out and forgetting how things work at home, basically unisex everything, come off looking kooky. That's what's so bizarre about this story. Did you ever imagine Jerry Brown looking like the grown-up? I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is an associate professor of speech at Moorhead State University. Jared Wesley has been keeping a check of your sports world, and he's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. From small towns to big cities, wherever you go in Kentucky, there's a good chance you'll see a Toyota Camry. And for good reason. It's America's best-selling sedan made right here in the Bluegrass. But Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky does more than build world-class cars in Kentucky. They're an important part of our communities, providing thousands of jobs and millions in donations to local organizations. Toyota is honored to be a part of your community.
That familiar smell of football season is back upon us. For Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Jared Wesley reporting. Excited to finally get started, the Rowan County football team will open up its schedule tomorrow evening at 5 as the Vikings tangle with Clark County. Rowan County Kyle Singleton coach worries about how his squad will deal with the Cardinals' athleticism, but he hopes the Mean Greens' veteran offensive line can offset that problem.
Looking at our front line, we got three senior starters on the front line, another junior that started several games. Still trying to work out the kinks as far as who we're going to put at that right guard position. But, you know, we got some guys with some game experience, and, you know, hopefully they can be able to handle that. I put a lot more of that on the offensive line rather than the running backs.
While Rowan finished last season at 4-7, Clark ended up at 1-10. However, the Cards' one victory was a 44-26 triumph over the Vikings. Kentucky's 2013 high school football season kicks off tonight, and there are several key games around the area. East Carter starts things at Raceland. The Raiders won just two games in 2012 and none the season before. Coach Zach Moore hopes his team can turn the corner this year, and he admits a fast start to the campaign would provide his rebuilding Raiders with a huge lift.
And it would be great to get a couple wins early. But unfortunately, our first two games are against one team that expects to play in the state finals and the other one played in it last year. So it's going to be a big task for us. But if you come out of that with one or two wins against those kind of teams' programs, you can't buy that kind of confidence.
Also tonight, Morgan visits Estill, Greenup entertains Lewis, Fleming County travels to Harrison, and Lawrence County is at home to tangle with Boyd County. Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenure says his offense is making good progress, but adds that unit still has plenty left to improve on before next Thursday's season opener against Pikeville. In particular, Tenure says the Eagles' offensive line needs to continue to work on its pre-snap communications, protections, and splits.
And that's a week-to-week preparation type thing, but our defense does so much of it that it's given us a lot to prep with, you know, as an offense. So, but that's an area. I feel like the one thing that we've really gotten better at is running the football, and with Reese McShera coming back, that's exciting to know.
McShera last season became MSU's first 1,000-yard rusher since 2000. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops admits Patrick Toles is disappointed that he's no longer in the running to be the Wildcats' starting quarterback. Stoops announced earlier this week that the battle for that job is now between Jalen Whitlow and Max Smith. The coach says Toles handled the news that he's now the number three guy with maturity.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy conversation because I know how much he cares, you know, how much he went into it, but he handled it the right way, and I know it was easy for me because I know I was very prepared for the whole process.
A product of Highlands, Toles played in five games last season as a true freshman. There's a good chance he'll be redshirted this year. The Pittsburgh Steelers have bolstered their injury-plagued backfield, acquiring running back Felix Jones from Philadelphia for linebacker Adrian Robinson. The deal, announced Friday, requires both players to pass a physical. The 26-year-old Jones gives the Steelers needed depth at running back. Rookie Le'Veon Bell is out with a sprained right foot and is out indefinitely. Isaac Redmond is dealing with a nerve injury, and return specialist LaRod Stevens-Howling sat out last Monday's preseason game against Washington with a sprained knee. Jones was the 22nd overall pick in the 2008 NFL draft by the Dallas Cowboys, but never stayed healthy enough to become the team's feature back. He has rushed for 2,728 yards and 11 touchdowns in 64 games. Robinson made the Steelers as an undrafted rookie free agent last season, appearing in 12 games. The Cincinnati Reds look to claw even closer to the top of the NL Central this evening as they take on Milwaukee. Just 2.5 games behind the Pirates and one game back of the Cardinals, Homer Bailey and the Redlegs look to continue their hot streak. The Reds have won 7 of their last 10 games and are searching for a third straight victory tonight. Starting pitcher Matt Latos picked up his 13th win of the season against Arizona yesterday. He says consistently keeping the bullpen fresh is key.
I mean, any chance that we get to save them, you know, from coming in to throw, you know, from the 6th on or 7th on, it's a key. So I try to take full advantage of that. You know, I talked with Price. He asked me how I'm feeling. I told him I was fine. You know, I go the 8th. You know, so it's key because, you know, in the long run, that we're going to need them in a later part of the season. So to be able to give them needed rest.
Other key games that could directly affect the Reds' placement in the Central include Atlanta at St. Louis, Pittsburgh on the road against San Francisco, and the Diamondbacks against the Phillies. The Moorhead State soccer team's 2013 season officially gets started tonight. MSU will face Ohio State and Columbus at 7 o'clock. Coach Warren Lipka says the Eagles will have to be at the top of their game to have a shot at knocking off the Big Ten tournament's defending champs.
You can't give a team like Ohio State easy chances because they'll put them away. So we got to make sure we're tight defensively and that we are able to find people and hit targets and take care of the ball on the offensive side so that way we get a chance to put one away.
MSU battled Western Kentucky to a 1-1 tie last Sunday in an exhibition match at Jane Stadium. With their season opener just a week away, Moorhead State volleyball coach Jamie Gordon says the Eagles are making good progress in their preseason practices. Gordon, though, says there's still work to do before MSU faces Tennessee next Friday at an event at the University of Cincinnati.
We're just starting to implement our offense. We started off our main focus is on the defense and ball control component, and I feel really good where we are there. We have a lot of experience on the defensive core. We really returned everybody from that area of the game, and now we're starting to work in our offense and see what type of options we have. I think we've got a very versatile group.
While at UC next weekend, the MSU volleyball team will also face Butler and the host Bearcats. That's a wrap of sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football kicks off their 2013 season by hosting Pikeville at Jane Stadium on Thursday, August 29th. Game time is 7 p.m. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Here is the latest business news from the Associated Press. Stocks are ending with modest gains on Wall Street after recovering from an early stumble caused by a poor report on the housing market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 46 points, or 0.3%, to 15,010 on Friday. The Standard & Poor's 500 Index rose 6 points, or 0.4%, to 1,663. The NASDAQ Composite rose 19 points, or 0.5%, to 3,657. The NASDAQ market was shut down most of Thursday afternoon because of technical troubles. Microsoft jumped after saying Steve Ballmer would retire as CEO. Bond yields fell, and gold rose after a plunge in new home sales shook investors' confidence in the housing recovery. Two stocks fell for everyone that rose on the New York Stock Exchange. Volume was very low at 2.5 billion shares. This is Morehead State Public Radio News.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the lower 60s. Saturday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 60. Sunday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. Monday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Monday night and Tuesday, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. Highs in the upper 80s. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 70. Currently in Ashland, it's 83 degrees. It's 81 degrees in Flemingsburg, 83 degrees in Winchester, 86 degrees in Lexington, 82 degrees in Inez, and it is currently 84 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Tanner Boyd, Shelby Steele, Sam Steyert, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Asa Hosoda, and as always, Dan Conte. From KPR, Stu Johnson, and our feature segment was provided by Morehead State University professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kayla Hall and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is up next. The time is 5 o'clock.